WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our archive edition today is about baseball, in anticipation of the long-awaited start of the season. Our final guest is former star first baseman Keith Hernandez. He played with the St. Louis Cardinals, the New York Mets, and the Cleveland Indians during his 17-year career in Major League Ball. He was named Most Valuable Player in 1979 and won the Gold Glove Award for first base 11 years in a row. He was also known for having a near-perfect swing. I spoke with Keith Hernandez in 1994 after the publication of his book Pure Baseball, Pitch by Pitch for the Advanced Fan.
How do you develop a good eye as a batter? When you were up at bat and you were trying to follow a pitch, what would you look for?
Basically, if you're getting down to the nitty-gritty, you, as a hitter, have to concentrate on the point of release where the pitcher lets go of the ball. Whenever some pitchers throw overhand, some three-quarters, some sidearm. So you basically focus on wherever they release the ball. And you do see the motion, but it's all kind of around the periphery of your main focal point, your concentration point, a point of release. And then once the ball is released out of his hand, then your eyes have, in a split second, obviously, have got to really zoom in on the baseball and identify the pitch, which is why we have little red seams in the ball, because each pitch has a telltale giveaway with the rotation. If we didn't have the red seams in the ball and the ball was all white, the hitters, there would be no 300 hitters.
Right.
You get that?
So, were you usually accurate in what you assessed a pitch to be?
Well, I think I was accurate pretty much all the time. Every pitch has a giveaway in the rotation. Fastball comes in, and the ball's all white. If a pitcher throws a curveball, he is spinning the ball kind of like in an orb. The red seam makes like a moon orbiting the Earth or whatever. The ball is spinning in like a 1 o'clock. Let me get my times right. 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock mode. So it's like a tiny moon orbiting in a red line, and that tells you instantly it's a curveball. And make this as simple as possible. Slider, the seams make a little tiny red circle right in the middle of the ball, and everything else is white. So you know right away your mind says slider. Knuckleball has no spin. The split finger fastball, which made it so difficult, was that it did not have any telltale giveaway. It comes in like a fastball and then drops. So that's what makes that pitch so difficult. So there's an art to it, no question.
In your book, Pure Baseball, you talk a little bit about sometimes peeking at a catcher's signals to see what they were telling the pitcher to do. How would you do that, and how often would you do it?
That seems to be the one everybody's most fascinated with so far. It's not really looking at the signals, because you couldn't. The key is I would do it only in certain situations late in the game if there's men on base. Mm-hmm. And some people might call this cheating. I don't. I'm looking for where the catcher is setting up. If I have a left-hand pitcher, and I was a left-hand hitter, if the catcher is setting up outside, it's going to be either a fastball or a breaking ball away. If he's setting up inside, on the inside corner to me, he's not going to throw a curveball in there. It's for sure 100% going to be a fastball, and he's going to try to throw it inside. So what I would do when a pitcher would go in a stretch, because I'd only do it in situations late in the game where I could hurt him and maybe blow the game open or win the game or tie the game, et cetera, whatever. He'd go into a stretch. I would just, without moving my head, I would just kind of look out of the corner of my eye, and if I could see the catcher, he was set up outside. If I couldn't see him, he was set up inside. Now, you run the risk of a catcher setting up inside, and then as you peek back, he can shift back to the outside. That's the risk you take. But if you're observant, you watch your catcher, and you see what kind of pattern he has, what kind of habits he has back there. There were certain catchers I knew I couldn't peek on because they moved around and they would set up inside and move outside or vice versa.
How legit is it to peek at a catcher?
How legit?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think a couple pitchers got a couple losses on their record because I peeked late in the count. But it wasn't something, you can't do it all the time because the classic example, they find if they think you are, they're going to set up outside mm-hmm. and make it obvious. You're going to think it's outside and they're going to hit you right in the head.
Right.
So there, and you have no gripe. You got it coming. So something I didn't do every day. Should I go to jail for this? Is this a felony? I feel like yeah. I'm on the witness stand. I only pick my spots on it. So there was very, very rare situations. And of course, when I was red hot and really swinging the bat good, or had a pitcher that I had good success off of, or I had success that particular day, I wouldn't have to. But if a certain pitcher was in there that was tough, and I wasn't swinging the bat that good, you know, for knowing location on the pitch, whether it's in or out, for one pitch of the at-bat, now I would try to take advantage of it.
If you were on a streak, either a good streak or a bad streak, what would you do? How would you try to keep a good streak good, and how would you try to break out of a bad one?
To maintain a good streak, that's one of the things. That, I mean, what makes you go into a slump, and what makes you break out of a slump? Why do you go into a slump one day after you've been swinging the bat good for 3 weeks, and you come to the park that day, and boom, you've lost it, and then a 2-week slump and coming to the park and not having any clue, like you never had a bat in your hand your whole career, and all of a sudden you come to the park one day, boom, and you break out. It's something you can't put your finger on. Now, the Lord will only give you so many base hits if he really cares about baseball. I think he's a baseball fan up there, that's for some reason. When you're red hot, you only have so many good swings, and I would take less batting practice. I didn't want to waste those swings. I would just go, I felt good at the plate. I would take a couple rounds to get loose. And normally, in a day-to-day, when you go take batting practice, you have around 5 rounds, the starting lineup, around 40 swings. I would take 15 just to get loose, get out of the box. Now, when you're in a slump, there's all kinds of things you can do to break out. I mean, you can take extra batting practice, come to the park early, which is a positive thing to do. But then you can overdo that. Sometimes you get in a slump when you have no clue, and you just say, okay, I'm just not even going to hit today.
Were you a superstitious hitter?
I think every athlete is superstitious. I was superstitious, but not when it came to slumps. When you're in a slump, you're groping and trying to find the quickest way to get out. I mean, I wore my socks a certain way. I knew what sock went on my... That was my superstition. I knew what sock went on my right foot and which one on my left foot. And every year, the first hot streak I got into, whatever foot, leg that sock was on, I'd keep it on the rest of the year. I had a ritual that I did in the on-deck circle that I did everything the same way. It was very precise and neat, and had my the pine tar rag on one side, the towel to the other, and the rosin bag and all that stuff. I had a kept house there, so to speak. So I don't know. It's just one of the things, one of the idiosyncrasies of me when I played.
Keith Hernandez recorded last year.